Clear Channel's iHeartRadio. Welcome to the Jane Wilkins Michael Show. Better than before. An hour of beauty, health, fitness, and lifestyle advice from renowned columnist and author Jane Wilkins Michael and her guests, top experts in their fields. Join Jane's campaign to become better than before. Now, here she is, Jane Wilkins Michael.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Jane Wilkins Michael Show, Better Than Before, on iHeartRadio Talk. I'm Jane. I'm coming to you live from New York City. I want to thank you so much for being with us. And now to make this day even better than before, I will say a quick hello to my producer, Lori Houston. Come on in, Lori. Say hi.
Hi, Jane.
How are you? Well, beautiful day here in New York City. And speaking of beautiful, my guest today is Suzanne Summers, who is an entrepreneur, a singer, actress, lecturer, and pioneering health and wellness advocate. She has written 25 books, most of them New York Times number one bestsellers, including her most recent, Toxic, From Toxic to Not Sick. And as all of you know, what goes on goes in. And with this in mind, she has just created Suzanne Organics, which is a beauty and skincare line that is certified toxic free. She has done it all and then some, and she manages to look fabulous while she is doing it. Welcome to the show, Suzanne. Thank you so much for being with us.
Well, I'm feeling good after that introduction. Thank you very much.
Oh, it's our pleasure. You know, Suzanne, before we talk about your new book, Toxic, From Toxic to Not Sick, which is a great title, great book. No wonder it's a number one New York Times bestseller. I just have to tell you a very cute story. Right before the show, I was telling a friend that you were going to be on with us today, and he has his own PR firm here in New York, and he's not one to gush as a rule. And he said, oh my God, Suzanne Summers, I idolize Suzanne Summers. And I have for years and years. In fact, going way back to the 80s, when I was a student at a college in DC, I saw her at the airport there and I ran up to her and asked for her autograph, not knowing what to expect. And she was so kind, so generous, so beautiful, but neither of us had a pen. So she ended up kissing my ticket and her lip imprint became my autograph. And he said he was the envy of everyone at the school, and then someone stole it and he was crushed. So we can add to your list of accomplishments, creative autographer.
If you give me his address after the interview, I'll send him another lip imprint.
Oh my God, that's too funny.
And this time I'll sign it.
you will certainly make
it. That's a funny story. I often do that with my husband. We leave each other love notes, I guess. And we've never talked about the fact that we do it. We just do it. And I often, when I blot my lipstick on a piece of Kleenex, I'll put it on his desk with a I love you on it. And so I guess this is a form of communication for me.
Well, that's very sweet. I like that. If I left a lipstick tissue on my husband's desk, he'd probably say, why'd you leave this here? What is this?
Right? I likes it because I see them hanging on the inside, taped to the inside of his closet door. So
That's such a cute story. I like that.
He's sentimental that way.
Very sentimental. You know, Suzanne, I do want to mention something here, and it comes with a big collective thank you from all the women who you have kept young. And that is that you brought to light that as we get older, hormones are not the devil and we need them so we don't all look like prunes. And we're talking bioidentical hormones. But, you know, obviously leaving it up to the traditional doctors, they scare the heck out of all of us. And, you know, I've asked so many doctors and I said, don't even think about it. Why do you feel that that hormones are so important as we get older?
Well, if we were dying at the ages we used to die, it wouldn't be necessary. But we're all living. We've got extended life now due to MRIs and CAT scans and sophisticated blood tests and antibiotics, even sewage. All these things have extended life. And the life expectancy now is 90, 100, 110. In some futurist circles, it goes even further than that. But if you're going to be alive twice as long as humans once lived, then you need to have quality in that second half of life. And hormones are the juice of youth. Hormones are the messengers in the body that tells it, you know, when to sleep, when to have a sex drive, when to grow hair, when to digest your food. They're involved in every single activity in the body. So women are expected to live without them. So the way they got the bad rap was in 2002, the Women's Health Initiative was doing a 10-year study. They discontinued after 2 years, saying their findings are, and I'm paraphrasing, it would be better for women to take nothing at all than to take the dangerous, harmful, and even fatal hormones.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they were talking about the synthetic hormones, which are made from pregnant mare's urine, and of course, has 34 different estrogens, not one of which is compatible to the human female. We have three main ones. And when I lost my hormones, I guess it was about 18, 20 years ago. And my quality of life plummeted so drastically. I couldn't sleep. I'd be dog tired during the day because I didn't sleep the night before. I'd get into bed exhausted. I'd fall asleep immediately for 15 minutes to a half hour and then wake up soaking wet and wide awake. And this scenario would go on all night long, maybe getting an accumulative 3 hours of sleep every night, which, you know, raises your cortisol, and then the thyroid gets off, and you're in a bad mood all the time, and you're gaining weight for no reason, because when you can't sleep, your insulin never goes down, and your thyroid's off, and your adrenals are off, and it was just horrible. And I went from doctor to doctor to doctor, and I was offered antidepressants, sleeping pills, right, diuretics, diet pills, blah, blah, blah. And I remember saying to one doctor, the final one, "Are you kidding? Is this the best you have to offer women?" And he patted me on the shoulder and said, "The drug companies know best here." And I thought, okay, right, I'm on my own. And I heard about this endocrinologist in Santa Barbara who was doing something with something called bioidentical hormone, biologically identical to human hormone,
mm-hmm,
natural hormone. And I got to her, and the whole game changed. It doesn't happen instantly. You know, it takes a long time to lose them. You've got to put them back slowly in an increment, that you start feeling better almost immediately. And with the research that I've done, to get back to answer your question, because this is a long answer, I know, you are more likely to get cancer not replacing hormones than when you have perfectly balanced, as per a qualified doctor, as per lab blood test, on the natural hormones. Because the,
yeah,
brain recognizes a hormonally balanced person as no longer reproductive. And the whole reason we're here is to perpetuate the species, biologically speaking. So when we are no longer reproductive, in biology, we're really not all that valuable. So that's why the cancers are triggered at this age, because, the brain recognizes that we got to make room for the new young reproductive one, so let's throw it cancer.
So let's
personality. But all the research I've done, there's never been one reported case of cancer due to bioidentical hormones. They have been studied. There's the women's the nurses study, the Fournier study, the French study. There's so many studies that I put in the back of every one of my books so that the women reading can see, go look this up. Here's all the information. Go look it up, and you can see the safety and efficacy and the quality.
No, I agree with you completely, and I do take bioidentical hormones, and I feel so much better, and I wish more and more doctors. I mean, in New York City, it's difficult to find a doctor who is willing to do this. And that's why you're right, so important, that you bring awareness so women could say, hey, you know, I want this. Right?
Because if you go to your regular doctor, I find, with all due respect, that doctors are down on what they're not up on. And this is not what they learned in medical school. And so they have to step out of the safety of the little box they've been operating in and to choose this as a specialty. We actually put together a network because women were so frustrated not being able to find, you know, a qualified doctor.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't go to a doctor that gets this, it's like going to a plumber for a bypass. So it's called foreverhealth.com. It's a free service where you can find a doctor who's qualified. They've been all vetted. I work with a group that has 26 doctors, professional scientists that vet any doctor that gets on this list. and you find the doctor nearest you, and you go to that doctor. If you don't like that doctor, then you go back to the website, and they'll send you to another one nearest you. Just because I hear that frustration all the time.
I agree. I've tried them. I've tried a lot of them, and they look at you again, or they're willing to give you the patch, or they're willing to give you a pill, the Premarin, as you mentioned, but they're not willing to go with the bioidentical hormones. And I wish more pharmacies would make the compounding available to more women as well, which would be a great help.
The ship has sailed. The movement is in place. When I first started writing about bioidentical hormones in my very first book on hormones called The Sexy Years,
mm-hmm.
I could only 30 doctors in the entire country who knew what I was even talking about. The next book was like 150. The next book was over 1,000. I finally had to put them all under that network and vet. Every doctor had to be vetted before they could go into that network. So I didn't want to send any women to doctors who didn't know what they were talking about and wanted to jump on the bandwagon. But it's a movement. And in fact, the synthetic hormone you just mentioned has dropped in sales by 72%. That says a lot about women. Women are smart. We smell when something's good. And I even think it's beyond looking good. I think it's that
it's feeling good.
Feel good. And if you're healthy on the inside and you keep your glands and organs youthful, it will manifest on the outside and you will wrinkle less and your hair will stay better. And I always bring up libido because a healthy person is a sexual person. I mean, what's the last thing you feel like doing when you don't feel well? So the fact that a libido comes back and without hormones, you know, when we lose our sex hormones, we can't feel sex with women. We can participate because, you know, you'd rather have a smoothie.
All good points. And it's all about women's empowerment today. And that really empowers you when you have the knowledge. I mean, knowledge is power. When you have the knowledge to go to your doctor and say, look, this is what I want. If enough women do that, it's going to happen. And you're our fearless leader. I have all your books, just so you know. That's where I learn. That's where I get all my information. So, but turning for a second, turning for a little bit to your new book, Toxic. I just love that title. One of your favorite quotes is, "Let's make people too smart to fail in their quest for wellness." And, you know, Americans in general are smart. As you said, the women are smart. But there's a great disconnect between our brains and our health. And, you know, everything that's available to us, we are still one of the sickest countries in the world.
I would say we are the sickest. Isn't that shocking? Cancer is soon to overtake heart disease as the number one killer of people in this country. Why have we come to expect cancer as so normal? I don't have any idea of what your age is, but when I was a kid, I heard of somebody who knew somebody who knew somebody who had this thing called cancer. It was that remote to now. You know anybody who doesn't know somebody who had cancer?
No, it's an epidemic.
It's an epidemic, and I think we need to be alarmed at this epidemic. And in the 50s, that's when the chemicals and toxins started entering our daily lives. I remember when we'd have an ant outbreak in the kitchen. My mother initially would make like an ivory soap sticky paste and put it in their tray and they'd step out on it and they'd hate it and leave. That was her pest control. I remember the day she brought home this can of spray and and they all died. Bam! Like ninja warriors. And we sprayed the whole kitchen and started spraying in the cupboards and sprayed everything. And then my father found some spray for outside. Wow, this is how we can get the bugs outside. And then he put this new fertilizer, salt chemicals on the lawn. And wow, we had the nice lawn. We didn't know. We thought
no one knew back then. Yeah.
So the cumulative effect of the toxic burden that each of us are carrying is not a living thing on the planet, not carrying around some form of toxic burden. So what I did in this book is gather the five top environmental docs in the country and we all can't go to you, so let me be the appointment and give me all the time you have, like we'd all like when we go to the doctor, and tell me how to clean my body out of these toxins. Tell me all the different ways we can detox this out. One of the greatest ones is so simple, virgin organic coconut oil. It is so anti-inflammatory. It seals up the barrier wall in the GI tract that will, over time, heal leaky gut, which is what everybody's got. The toxins eat holes in the lining of the barrier wall, and they leak out into the bloodstream, and then they go on a rampage and attack organs and glands. Their favorite one being brain, and that's where this epidemic of, I call them the initial ADD, ADHD.
Yeah, that everybody is being diagnosed with these days.
Yeah, and the children are going down. They are, I hear kids talking, they romanticize their initials. Oh, I have ADD and OCD. Well, I only have ADHD, but I also have food allergies and allergic to everything. When did this happen? Their immune systems are, in many cases, degraded from birth, from growing in a womb that wasn't prepared with keeping the flora balanced and getting the toxins out of the womb before that womb became our, you know, our first house that we grow in. If you grow in an unhealthy house, guess what? You start out life behind the eight ball. The Environmental Working Group did a study of the cord blood of newborns before they even had a sip of breast milk. Their cord blood all across the economic spectrum, from the poorest to the richest. They tested for 287 different toxins. Every single baby tested positive minimum of 180 things. And that's how they're starting life. And then the breast milk has toxins in it now. And so it's not hopeless. And that's what this book is, the point of the book. There's no sense writing a book about if you're sick, you're going to get sicker, and then you'll never get well. That's not a book. This is, you can turn it around. And by the way, I find by taking, when I want to really like do a cleanse, and I put this in there, you have to read it first so you don't do it wrong, but multiple spoons of the virgin organic coconut oil, you can lose a lot.
Instead of olive oil? Is that how you use it?
The coconut oil has other properties that are anti-inflammatory, and so often the reason we are gaining weight and we can't lose it, and the reason we have the big stomachs and constipated and bloating and gas and cramping and all, I can't hold my stomach in kind of feeling, is usually because you got some bugs in there that are creating a little colony. And without, you know, like when I had black mold in my intestines, I ate even a date. Sugar is a happy meal for toxins, and my tongue would blow up like a basketball. So sometimes you have, it's all explained in this book, but sometimes you have to go cold turkey on sugar and grain and load up on healthy fat, quality grass-fed protein and organic poultry and things like that.
So you replace, do you cook in olive oil, in coconut oil as well?
Depending on what taste I want, you know, when I'm doing Italian, there's nothing better than olive oil. I love olive oil. I have some great finishing olive oil for salads and vegetables, you know, after they're cooked or raw, whatever. But there are certain vegetables that taste amazing hot in coconut oil. And with my little 12-year-old grandson, we went out to the garden the other day and we cut kale, and I said, you want to make kale chips? Now, no kid likes kale. So we cut the kale, so he's now into it and excited about it. We washed it. And then we brushed one side of it with virgin organic coconut oil and sprinkled sea salt, put it in the oven at 350 for 12 minutes. I mean, he loved them. He ate almost the whole thing. The next day we went down and got more, and he felt so proud that he could make something like that, that he could taste better than potato chips. And I said, yeah. And no small thing. It's really good.
You cook too, Suzanne? I mean, seriously, is there anything you can't do? Let's start with that. Oh my God, I am impressed.
The good news and the bad news.
Yeah,
it makes it hard for people to understand you know, or pigeonhole me, you know, what does she do? But, you know, like with, I've been, entertaining in nightclubs since the early 80s and really successful. In 1987, I was named, Entertainer of the Year, Female Entertainer of the Year in Las Vegas, and Frank Sinatra was Male Entertainer of the Year. Can you imagine the high of standing there with him? And I still have people say, what do you do on stage? So that means the books have overshadowed or the TV series. It's all good. I feel so lucky. But originally, to answer your question, was I was not going to do any of this. When I grew up, I cooked for the family. I was a better cook than my mother. And I just always figured that if I got really lucky, be a chef. If I didn't get really lucky, I'd work in a restaurant and around food, and that's what I thought I was going to do. So, you know, life's a journey you can't plan.
Yeah. Well, in fact, but although I must say, after reading your book and looking over the 6 major toxic threats, and we're going to talk about that very briefly, I'm moving to the Seychelles. I told Lori, I'm moving. That's it. I'm not living in New York City anymore. Half of the problem is here, I think. So, and yeah. It's scary.
When you walk outside today, just stop for a minute and look up. Last time I was in New York, I did this. You're going to be shocked when you see multiple EMF towers on every single building, and they're also in your elevators. Now, EMFs are electromagnetic fields. Electromagnetic fields interrupt with heart rhythms, with brain signaling. A friend of mine, Dr. Steven Sinatra, he's a leading integrative cardiologist in the country. His son almost died. He worked on Wall Street. He sat in a bank of computers all day, and the ERs and the EMFs hitting him all day long. His brain almost quit on him. It was just terrible. Luckily, he had a father such as he had who was able to bring him back to health in a way that he required by eliminating all routers and Wi-Fis and EMFs from his living space and detoxing him. These are the new diseases of today, and until you clue in to what they are, you can go on from doctor to doctor and get pill after pill. You're not going to get better. There aren't
That's what answers. I was going to say that. You know, it's not only the kids who are being diagnosed with ADD or ADHD. It's adults. And if you go to a doctor, and this is my, I think half of them should be, you know, disbarred is the legal term, but the same thing for medical, thrown out of the, you know, the American Medical Association. If you say, and I know so many people who do this, well, I have attention deficit. I can't concentrate. Oh, you have to take Adderall. That's going to do it. Nothing about what they eat, nothing about what their environment is, just pills, antibiotics also. And that's one of your big toxins there, overuse of pills.
Absolutely. In fact, the stats on our high school students in America, I'm going to go with the 29% because I've seen higher than that, but I know for a fact there are stats saying 29% of all of our high school students are on prescribed amphetamines, Adderall, Vyvanse, Concerta. Mm-hmm. Now, their brains aren't fully formed yet. If we factor in what we're talking about later, the toxic gut from the toxic womb they were born in, the D-grade, the processed food, the continual toxic burden, and then having it all reside in their brain so that the brain itself shrinks to make room for all the toxins. That's why you have ADD. You can't think because there's so many toxins in that fat up in there. I fear unless people smarten up and make the changes, and you have to start today, I fear for humanity. And so in genetically modified food and food with pesticides, and you gotta really rethink it all. And the doctors need to rethink it all. They take the Hippocratic Oath, do no harm. And at this point, they have to have noticed that the planet has changed in the last 50 years. And to not take a step back and look and see how can I operate differently rather than allopathic, which is here's the symptom, here's the drug. They've got to rethink it. And so I admire these doctors that I've gathered. And I go to their conferences and listen to their their lectures. They're all teaching one another. They're not hoarding their information. They recognize that we are in peril and trying to educate the public. So my little job is a messenger. I have a louder voice than most of those doctors, so I just keep writing because I was able to do it in our family. I was able to turn our health around from cancer, from ADD, ADHD, OCD, Lyme disease, mold was settled in the base of my husband's brain. Mold was settled in my intestines. He wanted to feel hopeless.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a little job you're doing, Suzanne. It's huge. You're doing amazing things. Seriously, you're making people think about what's going on, and that the first thing is to realize it before. Otherwise, if they think everything's fine, you know, you go to your doctor, he gives you whatever pills. It's all about protocol and tests, and half of those tests are radioactive, as you know. Then you're never going to get anywhere. You have to be able to be a voice, is what you are in a huge way. The other thing you talk about, which I think is really interesting that you say this, everyone is scared of cholesterol. You know, they're taking statins, and there's, again, we're continuing with drugs here. They want to lower it. They want to lower the HDLs and the LDLs, everything gets lowered. So it's not the HDLs are lowered too, and we need that. And then you say that in your book that people with the highest cholesterol live the longest. Why is that?
Every cell in the body requires cholesterol. Cholesterol is something our bodies make. And cholesterol as the problem with heart disease started way back with Dwight Eisenhower and his bacon and eggs he had this morning, and he had a heart attack. So they all decided he was eating, you know, the bacon and eggs and the high cholesterol. And then there was this flawed study by Ansel Keys that confirmed it based on one person who was a poor subject. And so that's how this whole thing began. And then statin became this $20 billion a year statins. The job of a statin is to eliminate plaque in the artery. Plaque you have is a plaque you have. But that's not what it does. It eliminates the body's ability to make testosterone, which is how you build bone and muscle. Cholesterol is crucial for brain health. That's why people on statins start losing their thoughts, you know, missing thoughts. It creates a muscle wasting disease I'm going to say this wrong, it's like rhabdomyolysis, something like that. I'm in the ballpark of saying that almost correctly, but that's just debilitating, where the muscles just turn to jello. And it takes away, particularly from men, it makes them hollow. It makes them not the guys they used to be. And I see that with my husband that used to, you know, be movers and shakers and flirtatious in a friendly way, the way that women and men love to interact. They now, I see all these men, they go over in the corner with the other men, and they just sit there, and they have no juice, and they have no ceremony. The doctor I interviewed in Toxic on this subject is Dr. Stephen Tanaka. He's written some wonderful books, one called The Cholesterol Myth. He said, I don't care how high your HDL, the so-called good cholesterol. He said, I've had guys on my operating table with a cholesterol of 350, and I think I'm going to go in there and find them riddled with heart disease, and they're not. He said, on the other hand, I've had guys on the operating table whose cholesterol is really low, 140, 160, and then they're both with heart disease. He said, so the HDL, I don't care how high it is. He said, I don't even care how high the LDL is. He said, LDL, the so-called bad cholesterol, is essential. It is what creates the little synapse between cells. They all talk to one another. Think of it as the synapse as a little bridge that connects cell number A to cell number B. Essential. If they're not connected, they can't talk to one another, and that's the job of every cell, the 90 trillion cells in our body. He said, the only thing I look for is the second component of LDL. And he said, most doctors never check for this. The second component is capital L, small p, little a. LP, little a. He said, if that's high, you're screwed. He said, that's like razor blades on the inside of your artery. He said, but it's rare, and it's generally genetic. And he said, in my large practice, I can count on one hand the amount of people that I have on statins who have dangerous LP little a. I said, so what do you do if your LP little a is high? He said, well, the few for where it's very severe, those are the few I put on statins. He said, the rest I put them on a natural blood thinner. He said, for these people, I put them on a natural blood thinner called Lumbrokinase. You get it at the health food store. You get it from Life Extension. And he said, that's all that I really worry about. And it was so freeing because, statins deplete your CoQ10. They knew that when they created it, when they found out, but they kept that report in the drawer. CoQ10 is the difference between having energy or no energy. CoQ10 is like if you had a power motor, outboard motor on a boat, where that old kind where you have to pull the ripcord to get the motor going. Well, the mitochondria, which is what is in the middle of the little cell, the CoQ10 is the ripcord that energizes the mitochondria, and that's how you have your vitality. But statins deplete your CoQ10 completely, and that's where the progression of somebody who's been on statins for a long time, they become shallower and shallower and less energy, less and less vitality. So anybody who is on statins, I highly recommend they read this chapter in this book, because I got him to get this concise, but you could read it in about 20 pages in the book. And it turns out, working in a serious way. My son Bruce, I was talking to him, and at 50 years old, men still were just like so driven at 50. And I said, "You're on your heart check." He said, "Yeah." I said, "What are your numbers?" He goes and gets them, and I said, "What's your LP little A?" He goes, and it was high. And I called this doctor. I went, "I never thought that I would have to be asking do this about my own child." So he put him on Lumbrokinase, and now his numbers are back down to normal. And so he avoided a drug and averted a heart attack or a stroke.
What's interesting, Suzanne, is most people don't know to ask their doctor to look for that. When they do a cholesterol profile, you don't get the little details. You just say, oh, it's too high or it's too low. Nobody delves into it as you suggested. And that's really, really important to know. And the other thing, and I'm sure you'll agree with me, is that there is correlation between heart disease and sugar, because I've noticed that cholesterol may be low. Most people who have heart conditions, they have a very low cholesterol because they live on statins. However, their sugars tend to be high.
Yeah, because your energy is depleted because of robbing the mitochondria of its ability to rev up. You have no energy. What do you do when you have no energy? What gives you a pickup? Sugar. You crave it. The body craves what it's missing, even if it's bad for you. So that's where the sugar thing comes from. And also to understand, wow, sugar is much more dangerous than I ever thought. And I like sugar, and I should be an addict, but I don't eat any sugar anymore. And the gift for me was getting this mold. When our house burned down, we moved into this leaf house. I didn't know it had black mold. And we lived there for 4 years, and we both got very ill being there and trying to figure out how to, when we eat the way we eat and sleep and think good thoughts, how are we getting so ill? What I realized was that if I gave myself even a bite of sugar, like a date that you think is healthy, right?
Yeah.
My stomach would blow up like a basketball. And it took me a while to put this together. My husband would say, boy, from behind you look great. He said, you turn around, it's like your stomach belongs to somebody else. I said, I know, and I don't know what to do about it. And when I've not had sugar now for 2 years, and my stomach is flat again. And it takes 2 weeks. I've never tried heroin, but I hear that's pretty hard to withdraw from. Sugar is hard for 2 weeks, kind of clawing and opening the refrigerator door and looking in the freezer and staring at the ice cream and closing it. You get past 2 weeks, you get into the, I don't want it. And I feel so much better without it. But it is the fuel for the toxins in your stomach, whether they be mold toxins or H. pylori toxins or candida is also the way toxins form. Imbalanced flora, if you're not taking probiotic every day, you will not have good gut balance. If you've ever had even one antibiotic in your life and you didn't take a probiotic simultaneously during the run, you do not have balanced gut flora. Anti takes away, pro puts back. You got to do both. And I think if you only took one supplement for the rest of your life, and you're only going to take one, I think that a daily good quality probiotic is the most important, more important than any of the others, although I think there are several that are very important. But that would be, if I could only choose one, that important.
That's a good point. I do take those. And then, you know, a lot of women are getting these constant chronic yeast infections, and I'm sure there's a connection between that as well. And they run to their gynecologist, and what do they get? They get more drugs to take away the, and that causes even more. So it's a vicious cycle.
It's a vicious cycle, just like you said. And it's a pathway to cancer. One of the most revelatory things in this book is I kept asking each doctor, does cancer begin in the stomach? And they all answered yes or no. That's pretty, so when you're bloated and you're gassy and you've got chronic yeast or you've got, you know, you have bugs in your GI tract, and it's hard not to have bugs in your GI tract with, you know, restaurant food. It's, unless you keep asking for organic and restaurant food, most likely you're eating chicken that has H. pylori, and that little guy is a bugger to get rid of, and the candida is really tough to get rid of. There is a probiotic. I have nothing to do with this company, but I must love me because I keep telling everybody to get it, but it's called Ohira. O-H-H-I-R-R-A. Or maybe there's one H. O-H-I-R-R-A. You can get it on Amazon, I think. It eats the root of candida. It's a really important, and then there's another supplement called Candex, which also eats the roots, because what happens is you might wipe it out for a while, but the roots are in there. It starts all over again, and that's like chronic comes back again and again. So I have nothing to do with either of those products. I guess.
But you should. No. You should have it. Then we can have our whole Suzanne Summers collections, which we're going to talk about next, about the products. But there is one connection I also want to make between sugar and cancer. You know, if you go have a PET scan, which confirms a cancer diagnosis, you drink glucose because cancer eats sugar. So there's definitely a connection between cancer and sugar, and it's frightening. And I loved also in the book, you said the primary seat of insanity generally is in the region of the stomach and the intestine. So sometimes people think they're out of their mind, and it's really just, as you said, that's going on.
That guy said that back in the early 1920s, I think, if I have the date right in my head. So he knew it back then. They've all been making that connection to gut, brain, and health. But no one ever thought we would have done to our planet and our environment what we have done. Again, you can't feel hopeless about it. How do you change it in your own sphere? What can you do in your house to change it? What can you do with your family to change it? And get yourself healthy, because it is devastating what's happened.
And also, but how about all these plastics and water bottles and all that stuff? That's also toxic, no?
And here, how about that? When did we get so thirsty? We're drinking water out of plastic bottles. The number one aggravator of breast cancer is phthalates. Guess what? Plastic bottles, plastic containers, all leach phthalates, P-T-H-L-A-T-H. L-A-T-E-S. Wow. How about that?
Yeah.
Switch to glass bottle. Buy glass bottled water. When I was a kid, everything was in glass bottles. And it was my first business. I had my little red wagon. And I'd go around to the neighbors and say, can I take away your bottles? And then I'd take all the bottles at the end of the day down to the grocery store, and I'd get 2.5 cents for the little one and 5 cents for the big one. And I'd come home with like $3, sometimes $5. That's how I made my living as a kid. Because all liquids, all saucers, all every glass, and then we switched over to plastic, and they're all leaching, and if they sit in the sun, and when you buy water at the grocery store, how long did it sit on a pallet out in the sun on the
right, and leaks into the actual liquid.
It makes a difference. And now it's really hard for me to drink water out of a plastic bottle. Sometimes when there's nothing else, you have to. And I sit there and I think, oh, I hate doing this. I've worked so hard to clean out. The Dr. Gonzalez, who's no longer with us, and I will miss him forever, but I got his last interview in this book. He said to me, he was one of the doctors curing cancer. He doesn't use the word cure. He called it managing, without drugs. And he said something to me profound. He said, cancer is manageable. I said, what does that mean? If you give it what it wants, he said, it'll leave you alone. I said, what does it want? He said, it wants good nutrition and a detox body. He said, it's a little more complex than that, pancreatic enzymes, et cetera, et cetera. But essentially, cancer doesn't have an opportunity to grow a new cell if you're feeding the body right and cleaning it out. Feed it, clean it. Feed it, clean it. Just constantly. And I think for the rest of our lives, in order to remain vital and healthy with this long life that we have been extended, you got to think about feeding it and cleaning it. Dr. Gonzalez cleaned out his cancer patients using coffee enemas. He just drank coffee. He said, no, it doesn't work that way. Why do you have a coffee enema? He said, well, the liver is like a sponge. He said, and the coffee goes up like from the bottom of the liver and squeezes the toxins out. He said, I have my cancer patients do two a day back to back, holding them lying on the left side for 10 minutes.
Dr. Gerson believed in that.
Gerson also. And, you know, Cleopatra was doing them. So there must be something to it. Cleopatra was the first one to figure out how to get makeup when there was no Rite Aid, you know.
And there was no Sephora.
Cobalt and charcoal. So she was into coffee enemas too. But I went to his funeral. It was upstate New York, one of those little churches that looked like George Washington was there, you know, the time. And it was packed with terminal patients, all who looked healthy. And the last guy I talked to on the way out, he said, 27 years ago, I was diagnosed with lung cancer that had metastasized to my liver and bladder, and I was given no hope. Go home or your last days. He said, so I went to Dr. Gonzalez, and I went on his protocol. He said, that was 27 years ago. This is stage 4, you know, terminal. And I heard so many stories like that. And all I could think of all day was, eat it right and clean it out. Eat it right and clean it out. And that's how you lower your toxic burden. You don't have to have cancer to ascribe to this. He tells you in this chapter in Toxic, he explains how it's all done for anybody who's interested. But it appeals to my common sense. What you do to your house. I live in an old house. I've got to constantly be cleaning out. So, pretty interesting.
Suzanne, I mentioned in the intro that talking about what goes on goes in, that our skin is our largest organ and we absorb the products that we put on it. Most people don't even know that. They don't realize that. Just briefly speaking of your new line of products that are formulated with no chemicals, that is important too, to realize that, you know, it's the other stuff. It's not only the food you're putting in, it's what you're putting on. So that was the idea behind your products. Keep your clean out in every way, head to toe.
Right. Absolutely. Toxins enter our body three ways: through our skin, through the food we eat and getting into the GI tract and affecting the liver. And then the third way is the air we breathe. That's the toughest one. You can keep the air in your own home cleaned out by not using toxic cleaners and rethinking all your Wi-Fi and where you keep your ERs. We have one product for your cell phone. If you go to SuzanneSummers.com and click on LifeWave, is a little chip you put in your cell phone between the cell phone itself and the case that eliminates electromagnetic radiation by 98%, and all the documentation is there, all the studies that were done at the most prestigious lab in this country. So that's probably, I don't know what, is it $69 or $79? I don't know. The best investment you could make in your health, because a cell phone's like putting a microwave oven in your brain. But I got off from your original question. You were asking, about skincare. Right.
Right.
Better than that. When you look at your skin under a microscope, what we know as pores under a microscope looks like a hole. Don't give that visual so women can understand. But doesn't it make sense when you're rubbing all over your hands and arms and legs and back and everything? Chemical lotion, expensive device, chemical stuff. It does the job too. It looks good, softens it up, except that chemical is now going to leak into your bloodstream through those pores, which we know as pores. And now you're in trouble. That's when the toxins are running around. The liver is so overworked now, which is our detoxification system, that what happens when the toxins reach the liver, it can't hold anymore, so it sticks it out into the portal vein, and that's when it gets now into the gut. And the more of these toxins that get into the gut, that's when they start eating through the lining, like at least in a swimming pool, leaking out, and then in the bloodstream up into, you know, pancreas might go to your liver, your other organs, but it all really wants to get up to the brain again. And that's again why so many brain issues and why so much craziness. In a book I wrote several years ago called Breakthrough, it was right after the Columbine shooting. And I interviewed a renowned neurosurgeon, love this guy, Dr. Russell Blaylock. And I was talking about the shooting. He said, in the next 20 years, you're going to see a lot more from brain-related shootings. Now, when you see all these shootings that we see on the news, that guy, Adam Lanza, I thought, why didn't somebody go look what was in his refrigerator? They're looking for all the wrong reasons. Go look in his cupboard. What was he eating? Were they eating foods that were all chemicals? And had he reached his tipping point? And then the third thing, I would say, if you want to start a toxic-free life, a good place to start is with your skincare. You think, what could a lotion do? And then in my line, we went from skincare, beautiful, everything is olive-based, and it's certified toxic-free and organic. The guidelines are very stringent for getting that insignia of toxic-free. I frankly have never seen it on any other line. It means it has to be grown organically, extracted organically, and nothing upwind or downwind of these products can be toxic to contaminate.
A lot of times they say it in lines, and then you look, and the first two ingredients may be, quote, green, and then after that, it's unpronounceable, right? So
if you look at ours, it's, you know, avocado oil and safflower and bergamot and lemon and vanilla and, you know, it's a beautiful product line. And the makeup, like my lipstick has no lead in it. How much lead do we take in through our lipstick? How long have we been taking in lead? Lead accumulates in the bones. And then when we get older, when we get osteoporosis, if we're not on hormones, and you break a bone, the lead leaches out into the bloodstream. Here we go again. And gets up into the brain, and that's when the dementia starts, leading to Alzheimer's. How about that? So all these things make a big difference, and
it's all part of cleaning ourselves, eating right, and cleaning out the toxins. Yeah. Suzanne, right. You are a national treasure. I have to tell you this, and I have my list of things now that I'm going to have to do this afternoon, starting with getting coconut oil, and I'll work my way down. So, where can our listeners?
I appreciate your interest.
Oh, fascinating. Honestly, we usually break for a commercial, but I just kept going because I can't stop because it's so fascinating and so interesting. And I think so many people will be helped by what you are talking about. And thank you for that. If we want more information, we go to your website, SuzanneSummers.com.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And that's where the skincare and hair care and makeup and the blush is made from cranberries and, raspberries and oranges, wonderful things. It's so
oh my
fun.
God! Not only will I buy the products, I will eat the products. It sounds they sound delicious on top of effective. I have to tell you. So, well, Suzanne, thank you so much for being with us today. Come back anytime. We have so much more to talk about. We could talk for the next 12 shows, but unfortunately today we have to stop. But come back and we'll talk about the rest. And thank you. All for listening. This is Jane Wilkins Michael. I will see you next week. Until then, be wise, be well, be better than before.
Have a question for Jane and want to be on the next Better Than Before show? Drop us a line via instantfeedback@bmajor.org. The Jane Wilkins Michael Show is brought to you by Express Scripts and is produced by Major Radio for Clear Channels, iHeartRadio, and bmajor.org.